It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. Both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And both myself and Pat here, we've both been practicing financial advisors for roughly 25 years. And we still are practicing advisors.
Yes.
We're not just
clients. It's not theoretical.
No. And so we work with people during the week, helping them plan their future. And we work with you on the weekends to help you make wise choices with your money as well.
My favorite part of the job is actually meeting with the clients. Which is probably a good thing, since this is the profession I chose.
You know, it reminds me, years ago, I remember talking to this is a long time ago, talking to this advisor, and he was complaining about having to meet with clients. He said he liked meeting people the first time and getting them kind of set up, but then he didn't like meeting them after that. And I remember looking at him like,
oh, bad. You should have gone to
like, dude, you got the wrong job.
Yeah, you should have. You went to the
You're not enjoying meeting with your clients. He was young, too. I'm like, maybe you should look at doing something else.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine if I had a doctor who didn't like seeing patients. My doctor's pretty good at pretending like she likes to see me anyway. Scott, you're looking good, healthy.
I got a physical tomorrow, Monday. I got that going for me.
You do have that going for you. Is it going to have to be a couple different visits?
Yes, because I'm over the age of 50 now.
Oh, well.
There we go.
We won't go any deeper into that
one. Yeah, one.
Better not. Yeah. Avoid that topic.
Actually, last time I went to see the doctor, I said, you know, I need a, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, he said, you know, you need to see your primary care physician about that. I said, according to my insurance card, you are my primary care physician.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. And I pulled it out and I showed him. Right? I could give my doctor. And he says, why do I never see you?
Like, I'm not sick.
I don't, what do you know? We're going to catch up?
I remind him a couple years ago. I know this isn't finance, but here we go. I'm getting a physical. I hadn't had one in a few years. It's the nurse practitioner at this doctor, not the current doctor. Yeah. And I had a shoulder issue that had been going on. And I said, she's literally tapping my knee to see if my knee moves. Right? Okay. You know, and so I said, my shoulder hurts when I raise my arm. She didn't say stop raising your arm. No, okay. She said, you'll have to make another appointment to discuss that. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, that's not part of the physical. I said, it's my physical body. I'm really kind of confused here. Because I thought I was coming in to kind of see what's happening with my physical body, like the way you're hitting my knee to see if my knee goes forward. But you don't want to talk about my shoulder. She said, we can't. You have to make another appointment. I said, okay, how about this? Let's have this appointment and right now, because you just hit my knee, and we'll start a new appointment right now.
And what'd she say?
She said, no, you have to make it a different day.
You know what you should have done?
Insurance billing.
Every time she hit
you. And I literally left, and I didn't go back, and I didn't finish my physical. Shame on me. I understand.
You should have. Every time she hit your knee, you should have screamed that your shoulder hurt.
Ow, my shoulder.
My shoulder.
I told you, it's connected here.
And that would have been really confusing, and she would have been required to look at your shoulder.
Anyway, financial program, talk about financial stuff. And if you want to be part of the program, we'd love taking calls. 916-921-1530. Not about a bad experience you've had with the medical facility, because we have all had those. And we've had great experiences, too.
Most of them good.
But anything financial related, so whether it has to do with retirement savings, a real estate transaction you're contemplating doing or have done or whatever, how do you save for your kids' college costs, your grandkids, estate planning issues, life insurance, anything that has to do with financial matters? If you want to be part of the program, our contact number here is 916-921-1530. Again, that's 921-1530. And you can also email us questions@moneymatters.com, and we'd love to take your call. I'll tell you, Pat, the volatility in these markets.
Oh, continues.
Continues. Up one, and it's, you know, I heard the other day someone said, boy, it just seems like the stock market's unstable. And I think, stock market's always unstable. I mean,
there's always movement.
And part of the challenge, as the markets go higher, the point swings get bigger. I mean, if we think about this, when we usually hear on the news that the Dow, everything goes back to the Dow. The Dow's been around since, what, 1890 or 19? Do you remember the year the Dow came out?
No, I don't remember, but the original Dow had 11 stocks in it, 9 of them were railroad. I do remember that.
11 stocks, 9 of which were railroad. That was the Dow. That was people started tracking, because that was the, it was probably in the late 1800s. That was,
it was in the late 1800s.
Yeah, I think it was 1890. That's what the economy was based upon. And when the Dow started, the index was at 100. Okay, so it's grown that much. I mean, one thing to think about when price, when you see your, the price of things go down, you think, oh my gosh, look how bad things are doing. Remember that the Dow started at 100 and it's at today. But when it was at 100 and you had a 10-point swing, that's 10%. That was huge.
Now, if you have a 100-point swing, that's...
It's not even a percent.
Yeah.
So a 100-point swing, even a 200-point swing, should not be something to cause alarm.
There's it, but the markets are volatile right now. Because the economies are, the global economy is volatile.
Well, it's, here's the challenging thing, right? So in the past, if we had some sluggishness here, there was often some other growth spots around the world that we can look to and say, well, things aren't doing that hot here, but boy, look at what's happening in Asia, or look what's happening in Latin America. We look, for example, you look at the last 15, 20 years. We've got great growth in some of these emerging economies, Asia and China, India, the growth in India. Brazil was on fire for a period of time, all these things that were kind of helping this global growth. And of course, Europe was doing relatively well. Now we're at a time where... many of these, I mean, Brazil is back.
My
they're,
gosh.
In, they're in
Holy
recession.
Holy smokes, they're in recession.
It's a real challenge right
it
there.
It is massive.
You've got,
they've
really
got social unrest. And
it's really kind of interesting to see how much has changed in Brazil from.
In a relatively short period of time.
Of course, Venezuela, their neighbor, that's understandable with.
Well, Brazil's getting close.
Well, they're not the same economy as not even close.
No, but
Venezuela, you can't even get, you got to stand in line for hours to get food.
This, I was referring to the socialism.
Well, still not close, but
it's going that direction.
Well, but the point is, we don't have these other areas of the globe right now of these bright spots that we can say, oh well, that's, these guys are going to help carry the growth.
It's mostly the U.S.
Couple, which, and we've got anemic growth. We have 9 years in a row of our economy growing at less than 3%,
which is anemic.
We have not seen that in recorded history, at least back to the 30s, not since 1930. Even the 1930s, we had some better times than what we've had the last 9 years.
Consistent.
Not to say that the last several years have been as bad as the 30s, because they clearly haven't been. But it's just been amazing, this low growth. Couple that with, we've got a dollar that continues to rally.
Which makes it imports more expensive and exports imports less expensive and exports more expensive.
Right. So our people don't want to buy our goods as much overseas. Then why should we buy... Used to be a good deal buying this American stuff, or contracting with an American company, or doing our, and now it's, well, can we find something local? And we're seeing central banks trying to get their currencies. This, there's a concept of some of these countries are trying to devalue their currency to try to spare up their exports
in
the economy.
Oh, absolutely. And
but it's a dangerous slope, and that's where we're sitting.
And
right
the
now.
Euro, who knows where this thing's going to end? Truly, who knows? It's anyone's guess. It's anyone's guess. Greece back and forth. Hey, what's wrong with you? The euro, you should support us. Naturally, the people getting the benefit say why it's a good thing, and the people giving it are not quite as interested.
What do you mean? Who's getting what benefits?
Greece wants to continue the financial support from the eurozone.
And they want forgiveness on a lot of their debts.
And Germany, who's the powerhouse in the euro zone, says, I'm not quite certain. Maybe you guys should slow down a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, the whole eurozone...
It's a social experiment.
Yes, and Germany has been a benefactor of this experiment, and to a large extent, and to the some say to the expense of everybody else. And, I mean, if you just look at many different factors that have occurred since... So anyway, we're seeing...
It's a tough environment.
So from an investor standpoint...
Be patient. Don't do anything rash. Now is not the time to reach out on the risk ladder very far.
And it's that we've
seen. And it's hard to do because the idea behind lowering interest rates to almost zero is to get you to take more risk in your portfolios, to get you to invest in things that will spur the growth of the economy. And in doing so, you're putting more risk in the portfolio. At what cost? You won't know until it's over. You just got to be very, very careful.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
This is the time that you would want to be a little bit more conservative.
And highly diversified.
That is correct.
Don't. And just because we talked about these challenges overseas does not mean you should abandon those things overseas, because things have a tendency to reverse back to their norm and back to their mean at periods of time. So it's just a challenging time. But there's also some good things. Aren't we exciting to start the show? We got to take a quick break. 921-1530 is the number if you want to join us. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country with a team of advisors in offices in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is first to listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's HansonMcLean.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Thanks for being part of this program this weekend.
You'd like to join the show, 921-1530. That's area code 916-921-1530. Or you can email us questions@moneymatters.com.
Yeah, and let's...
That's questions@moneymatters.com.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Michael. Michael, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes, sir. I'm calling in regards to the reverse mortgages that are available nowadays.
Okay.
My wife and I are over 62. We own our own house, and we do not have any heirs to our estate whatsoever. So we'd like to know something more about the reverse mortgages, please.
And Michael, you own nothing on your home, correct?
That's correct.
And how old are you?
I'm 63, turning 64 in March.
And how about your wife?
She's 61, 62 in June.
Okay. And tell me the value of your home approximately.
Approximately right now, it'll appraise out somewhere around $350,000, $400,000.
And do you need any income? Do you have enough to live comfortably on?
Are you still working? Are you retired? Or
We're actually disabled, both of us, so we're on a very limited income.
Oh,
okay.
And this your disabilities, do you think that will shorten a normal life expectancy? I know it's kind of a tough question to ask and to answer, but...
It should not. It's more mobility and disabling, injuries we suffered at work.
Okay, so let's talk about what reverse mortgages work and when they make sense and when they don't make sense. And Pat and I are actually big fans of these products when it makes sense,
now,
right? Not for everybody.
And we don't sell reverse mortgages. At one point in time, Scott and I owned a reverse mortgage company, but we have subsequently we sold it. We don't sell reverse mortgages.
But I
like them if used appropriately.
So we started a reverse mortgage company in the latter part of 2003. We looked because we said for many Americans, this will be a necessary piece of their retirement income. For those that have a ton of savings at retirement, all kinds of money coming in, they don't need a reverse mortgage. Probably doesn't make sense for them. But for so many Americans that find themselves at retirement without a ton of other savings, without a pension, it's a necessity and a life changer. So we started a company, grew it to a couple hundred employees, a Fortune 500 company.
They were a Fortune 100 company at the time
acquired it from us.
Bought it from
and
us.
And it's now Liberty is reverse mortgage is still in existence. I think it's the largest in the country right now.
Yeah,
500
I think they
employees
have,
or something.
Yeah, 500 or some odd employees.
We're very proud of it because we believe that these products, when appropriate, can make a tremendous difference.
Now, and like I said, we don't sell them. I'm not licensed to sell them, but I have recommended them twice in the last 3 months. In fact, I recommended it to someone last week. And I recommended it to someone that they didn't have any interest. The one lady I recommended to last week, she had no heirs.
Thank you.
And she didn't have quite enough income from her portfolio to live the lifestyle she wanted. She had a rental property. She owned a $650,000 home. And she was complaining to me she didn't have enough money to spend. So I said, do a reverse mortgage. So I'll walk you through on how it works.
First, what income do you have right now, Michael?
Well, I make on disability from Social Security approximately $1,200 a month. And my wife, through her school disability, she brings in somewhere around $1,800. So there's $3,000 a month there. And then we do have a couple of rental properties. One brings in kind of a negative situation. It's in Old Town Sacramento, actually, and it has a rent of about $1,300, but there is a mortgage on it, so we're kind of burning about $700 a month.
Oh,
on that.
Okay.
Yes, it hurts. But we're kind of hoping what with the sports plaza that's going in there downtown Sacramento, maybe things will turn. We also have one rental piece property, which is $750 a month, and we own that property also.
So it's free and clear. So you have one rental with a big mortgage on it, one rental with no mortgage at all.
Correct.
And then your home's no mortgage.
Correct.
You know, so here's how a reverse mortgage works. Based on your age, they will lend you either as a lump sum amount or a series of payments, a dollar amount based upon your age and the value of your home. So you own a $350,000 home. As long as both of you are age 62, you'd probably be able to borrow about
half.
Maybe not quite half, but somewhere between a third and a half. And they would give it to you either as a lump sum or a stream of payments. Think of it, a reverse mortgage, just like a regular mortgage, where the interest is just added to the principal until the day you die. So, give you an example. You take $100,000, and that interest just grows and grows and grows, and the day you die, you owe $300,000 on the mortgage, but now the house is worth $600,000. Whoever inherits the property pays off, sells the property, pays off the mortgage, whatever's left, the equity goes on to your heirs or a charity or whatever you'd like. That's how it works. So they're no different than a regular mortgage, except the interest rate just adds on to it till the day you die. As long as you make you pay the property taxes and insurance, they cannot throw you out of the home. Right? That's the benefit of a reverse mortgage, is that it is your home. The equity in it is yours, and they cannot ask you to leave the home.
And essentially, you're borrowing the money, and rather than having to pay the interest as a normal mortgage, the interest accrues on itself. So as long as the home continues to appreciate in value some, you always have some equity, but that's really not your major concern. I think it could make some sense.
How much do you owe on that property in Old Town?
Okay, there's a mortgage of approximately $255,000 on that property in Old Town. It's a loft right across the street from the railroad museum. Uh-huh.
So here's what I would do. I would actually shop.
And what's that worth?
That's something I do not know. We bought it at a high end when they were making the loft in Old Town. And so I don't know with the current restructuring down in Old Town and around the area with the complex going in and all the revamping of downtown. I really don't know. I'm thinking it's probably in the area of $350,000, $400,000 probably right now.
Oh, okay, so you've got equity.
You've got equity in it. You just have negative cash flow.
Sir. Exactly.
I kind of like the idea of a reverse mortgage.
I would do it.
On a monthly. I'd do a monthly.
Yeah, I would take monthly.
And let's assume.
And I would shop for it too, Scott. What I found.
Because if the home values go up 20 years from now, you can always refinance it again in the future. And when you're taking a monthly, if you sign up and have our concern would be, at 62, if you took a lump sum, which you could, we've seen people do this, you take a lump sum out of that. It's kind of your last stop to the well. Once you're rated that, there's nothing else. So if you take a monthly, your first couple of years, your mortgage balance is going to be very small because it's just this monthly income. And it still would give you the flexibility at some time down in the future. You can still refinance that to a different kind of reverse mortgage, maybe either get more monthly or take a lump sum out.
And you want to shop for it. They do offer discounts. They're all government. Most of them are government guaranteed. There's a couple private ones out there. But you want to shop for them because they do offer discounts. Different firms offer discounts.
Okay.
Meet with someone who's qualified and go on over, you know, what the options are. Decide what the product you want is, and then shop it.
Okay.
It's that easy. It makes sense for you.
That's really interesting.
They are interesting.
It made sense for you, especially since you have no heirs and you've got two other pieces of property. Because the problem with doing them at age 62 is, like Scott said, it's your last trip to the well.
Yeah, and you're relatively young.
You're relatively young, but you do have two other pieces of property. The one I recommended this last week was for a 67-year-old single lady, and she had a rental property worth $400,000. And it made total sense for her. The other one I recommended a couple months ago was a married couple. They had a couple $100,000 in the bank, hadn't talked to they were estranged from their children, and it made perfect sense for them. But oftentimes, it doesn't make sense. Especially if you're going to take one out and go and buy a motorhome or blow it. Like everything else, it is a tool, and tools can be used right or wrong.
Someone at their 62nd birthday did it. Their spouse was 55 or 56. They had their spouse get removed from title in order to do this, and I remember pleading with them at the time, don't do this.
Yeah, that was not a good use of the reverse mortgage. So anyway, love the idea. Just do a little research. In fact, if you go online and type in reverse mortgage, there's all kinds of calculators right on the websites that will actually tell you how much money you should expect. Yeah. All righty?
Oh, great.
Good luck,
good
Michael.
Deal.
All right, appreciate the call.
Glad you called. Well, you know, Pat, I had there's some interesting planning techniques you could do around that. Here's an example of where someone I used in the last year or two.
And a disclosure again, we don't sell reverse mortgages or mortgages.
Right.
I think we sound too enthusiastic about this reverse mortgage.
So this was a client.
And I don't want to mislead people into thinking that we're promoting these one way or the other.
I had a client, had been a client for probably 15 years. The wife had passed away, unfortunately. The man was left. His family was in the Bay Area. Couple kids in the Bay Area, no children here. He would drive to the Bay Area like every weekend to visit families. He was in 70s some odd years old. He had a house here in the Sacramento region that was paid for, and he had a fairly large size retirement account, and he had a military pension and some Social Security. He had plenty of income.
Financially, he was fine.
Yes, particularly here. His kids wanted him to move to the Bay Area. But he did not want to take out a mortgage. He says, I just do not feel comfortable leaving a house that's paid for and going to a house that's twice as expensive and having a mortgage payment, which I totally get. He says, I just don't want that. So we started exploring a reverse mortgage. What he ended up doing was selling his house here, using those dollars as the down payment on a house in the Bay Area, twice the cost, used a reverse mortgage to finance the remainder. So from a cash flow standpoint, he was in the exact same position as he was here. His retirement account was still fully intact. His income, the only thing that cost more is property tax, but he could afford the difference in property
and
tax.
And there was a cost associated with the reverse mortgage, but the day he dies, the equity, as long as the home grows at a higher rate than the cost of the money.
And actually, at this point, if he passed away today, his kids are probably better off doing this.
He was better off.
I mean, so there are some times when they really can make sense. I mean, I think a time like that where you get somebody who's living here, kids and grandkids in the Bay Area, kids and grandkids want them close by.
Achieved the objective?
It absolutely achieved the objective.
The kids didn't care how much they were going to inherit, I assume.
All things being equal, plan on your retirement of not using one.
Please.
Having a home that's paid for.
Please.
Having enough retirement assets set aside to be retirement, have your retirement income. That's your best thing.
But if you get to retirement or you retire in a situation which retirement was forced on you, forced on you and you're not able to retire comfortably, I would not discount a reverse mortgage.
No, definitely look at them. I would look at them, though, in conjunction with having a discussion with a good financial advisor, not just talking to a reverse mortgage salesperson because
they have
their own interests. I mean, they might be great people and try to put your interest first, but they still are conflicted because they
at the end of the day, they're
earn some commission
required to sell reverse mortgages.
That's right. That would be their job. Anyway, so that's our thoughts on reverse mortgages. We got to take a quick break to pay the bills here and to hear some local news. If you want to be part of the show, we still have time to take calls.
Do you think management likes it when you say pay the bills here?
No, but that's okay. 921-1530 is the number. Again, 921-1530. This is Hanson McClain.
Scott Hanson and Pat McClain have been airing Hanson McClain's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McClain. Hanson McClain Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McClain understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McClain's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McClain's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSON or visiting their website at HansonMcClain.com. That's Hanson McClain.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain, thanks for staying with us.
That's right. On this great weekend. Every weekend's a good weekend.
Is it?
Huh?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's just.
I got to tell you, this is.
But you don't, all your kids drive. I still have a kid that doesn't drive, so.
I'm almost empty nester.
So next weekend, I've got 5 basketball games.
Although last night we had some friends over for dinner, and around...
Bragger. Why do you just got to brag to me about your friends?
Very nice.
That makes me so jealous.
You know, actually...
Oh, they're friends?
There was a young couple...
Relatives or friends?
Friends.
Oh, because we don't have friends over, just relatives.
And they're both around age 30 with 2 little tiny kids. And the kids didn't come.
Well, tell me, Father Time, how was it?
We had, my point is, my wife and I afterwards said, it was just really fun being with a young couple. And I started thinking later, I think it's good to have friends of a variety of ages. Because it seems like most of my friends are around my same stage in life, mm-hmm. or the same age. But it's...
I think it's just good to have friends.
I'm just reminded why I'm glad I don't have a 2.5-year-old, too.
Oh, I know.
But my point, my son comes down at 10:15 and... from his bedroom
last night,
and he's going out at 10:15. I'm like,
yeah, where do they go?
I'm about to go to bed, and you're going out. What's up with that?
Hey, quit listening to that crazy music, kids. Why's your hair so
it's
long?
It's the devil. Listen to that beat.
Why's the hair so long? All right, Father Time.
Huh?
Hmm?
I mentioned my son was just got a driver's license. He came to me one day, and he says, "Hey, Dad, can I talk about getting a car?" And I said, "Son, we can talk about it, but there's 3 things that need to change here first."
Okay.
I said, first of all, your grades aren't what they need to be. You can really do better. I don't see you doing much homework. You need to improve the grades. I said, second of all, I said, you never go to church with your mother and I. If you can at least just go to church with us a majority of the time, that would be appreciated. And I said, the third thing is, look at your hair. You look like a girl. You need to cut your hair. I said, you do those 3 things, come back, and we'll have a conversation. So a few months later, he comes, "Hey, Dad, can I talk?" I said, "Yeah, what's up, son?" He said,
"Does this joke have an end?" I know it's not coming with a punchline, but does it come with a finish?
He said, "It's not a joke, it's my son." He said, "I want to talk about the car." So, all right. He says, "Here's my report card, Dad. You see, it's mostly A's. I got 1 B, but I said, excellent. Did very well on the grades." I said, "You know, the other 2 things." I said, "Your mother and I haven't seen you in church." He said, "Well, I haven't been going on Sunday mornings, but I've been going to the youth group, and it's actually been really good. I've learned a lot. I've been growing. It's been great." I said, "Okay, well, you know, the third thing, son, was your hair. You still look like a girl." He said, "Well, Dad, when I was in church, I noticed there was a picture of Jesus in the back wall, and Jesus had long hair." And I said, "He did, son." and he walked everywhere he went. that's a stupid joke.
That was okay. It was just
too long. I was in the middle of it. What am I going to do? There's a reason I'm not a stand-up comic.
Oh, yeah. There's more than one.
You know, my wife's the type where, we'll get back to the finances here.
Tell him that joke?
No. We'll be in the middle of a conversation with somebody, and she'll say, oh, tell him the joke. and the people stop and they look at you. And it's like, you know, I can't deliver like that. Just doesn't work. Apparently, I can't deliver like this either. When I just slipped.
No,
it
I found it.
Riveting?
It was cute.
All right. Let's go to the calls. 921. Let's take a call.
921-1530.
Yeah, 916-921-1530.
Or questions at moneymatters.com. You can just type it in and we'll answer it.
Yes.
So let's talk to
Dave. Dave, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you? I'm glad I don't have a teenage son with long hair. Anyway, gentlemen, I'm a veteran and proud of it. And I understand there's a series of legislation going through, I think, the state of California and also the federal group. And it's changing the benefits drastically from what I'm hearing from some of the people I've talked to. I've heard a number, like 28 different bills, changing our health care, our benefits, and all that type thing. I just wondered if you gentlemen knew anything about that and could help me understand what's happening.
So there is some pending legislation on the federal side that I have read of, but I don't know how it's moving through the sausage mill, having to do with part of it is the delivery of benefits to veterans to make them more accessible. That's all I know. And I think it's probably a little early on in the process for that. But that's all I know. Scott?
Yeah, I don't know much in that area.
Yeah. But I was
told that these will take effect later this year, like as early as May or June. And I said, well, what can we do about it? And they simply said, write your congressman or something of that nature.
Yeah, I have not a clue.
I wish I could be more helpful there, but
appreciate the call.
Right. Yeah, right. Sorry, well,
thanks,
Dave.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Have a good one.
Yeah. You know, I always feel bad when we can't answer a question because usually we're
right on it. Yeah, but it happens.
But we also, I tend to read the bills, the proposals, but I don't spend a lot of time. You know, when it's funny, the media loves that sort of stuff. So I write articles sometimes for CNBC.com and written for Forbes and some of those. And they love it if you take some sort of current, maybe a president announces something. They love seeing some sort of drawn-out article on it.
Controversial, right?
They particularly love that, yeah. But, like, during the president's State of the Union speech that happened several weeks back, one of the things he talked about was getting rid of the tax benefits of 529 plans, college savings plans. He said that, I thought, it's never going to happen. Never.
Yeah, it was.
Ever.
It was dead 2 days later.
Didn't last long at all. And the things that he was kind of proposing, it's like some of them you knew they would never pass. And there are bills that you'll see. Some congressman or a senator will get a couple of people together. They put forward this bill, and I'll see there's this bill. And if I realize this bill does not have a chance of passing.
Why even pay attention?
I don't spend much time on it.
And that 529 plan, after he mentioned it, I didn't even read any articles about it. So it was like, wait, you want to give
there
away?
There were articles. Well, you didn't bother reading them.
I didn't read them because in the same breath you said, free junior college for everyone. Oh, but by the way, those people that are saving for their own education, we're going to take any benefit of that away. I just thought to myself, well, that doesn't make any sense. And that doesn't make any sense to me. And they said, well, wealthy people are taking advantage of this. Well,
because they say wealthy people are getting the lion's share of the benefits.
Yes.
Because they're the ones who are using the plan because they have the money to do so.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand. Whether it's a good, I can understand from a social type of perspective of
why you would look at it and say it's bad.
Here's the irony.
And I didn't grow up wealthy. I went to college, although I got to tell you, it was a lot less expensive to go to college back in the day I went to college than it is today. As a percentage of...
It is ridiculous.
It's very, very expensive.
Yeah. Had I not, I mean, I started using the 529 plan when my kids were tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And actually saved, I did a pretty good job saving. I took my own advice, planned, and saved for my daughter's education.
Oh, good job, Scott.
I'm not here, but what I'm saying is my daughter's in a private school in Southern California. Had I not had the dollars for that,
she wouldn't be there.
I would not be co-signing any sort of loan.
That's correct.
And I would probably say, no
little,
way
little
are you going to take
college?
Out. No
little,
way you taking out a big loan.
Little junior just, college, little sex date
nothing,
action or Chico.
Nothing
or,
wrong. Nothing
yeah, nothing wrong,
wrong
with that at all.
With that. But when the president announces that, it's free, here's what I thought the irony about free junior college. So you're telling these young people, hey, welcome to the world that is that you're adults now. We have $17 trillion in debt. But guess what? We're going to borrow more money. So you don't have to pay anything today for your junior college.
Oh.
But let's assume that you do well in junior college and you grow and you have a good career in life. We're going to tax. You're going to have to pay tons of taxes to pay off the money that we're going to borrow today for the junior. That's what it is. It's not like there's a.
That's a good point.
It's not like there's a stack of cash. We're going to. Why don't we give this money to the pay for have free junior college? That's what it's not free. They're going to pay the young people are going to be paying the debt more than anybody.
Yes.
Being passed to the next generation, that generation,
the kids, your children, and
your children. My point is on bills, and sometimes we'll get people to write us or call on. There's some sort of obscure bill that's someone's pushing forward that they want to. I've seen things like, account balances, IRA balances above certain amounts.
Oh, taxing
an excise tax, right? You see something like that. And you're like, and right now, with the Republican-controlled Senate and House, you're not going to see that kind of legislation pass. So I see a bill. If a bill comes through that seems crazy, don't spend a lot of time on it. It just doesn't.
But the media loves that.
Except this media. Us, too, right now.
Yes.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
We got to take
a quick break.
Yep.
To join us, if you want to be part of the program, to join the program here is 916-921-1530. Again, that's 921-1530. Toll-free line is 1-800-834-1530. And you can send us an email, questions@moneymatters.com. When we return from the break here, we're going to take a couple of those emailed questions. And we're also going to talk about a process to figure out what you need saved for your retirement. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country with a team of advisors in offices in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is first to listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's HansonMcLean.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us. Hey, I want to draw your attention to Hanson McLean's website before we go back here. Because
we've been working on it. Well, not us particularly. Not like me.
Well, yeah, not Scott and Pat, we. The collective.
I mean, like we, the work other people do that we take credit for.
Yes.
That's the we we're we speak of.
Usually when someone brings me an idea, I say, that is a great idea.
And then
soon I take credit for it. I tell the rest of the organization, hey, look what I thought of.
Yes.
I'm joking. But if you go to HansonMcLean.com, you'll see there's really some good stuff there. First of all.
We think.
Our organization, Hanson McLean's about 75 folks or something
like
that. So, we've got a big focus on education right now.
We think it's important.
For 2015, big focus on education. We'll be having some more webinars, educational webinars.
We've got educational workshops.
Yeah, we'll do some more workshops, and we've got a lot of great stuff on. And we've had a couple great webinars in the past that you can also go and view those webinars.
Yeah, on Social Security and
7 personal decision points.
We did.
But at our website, you'll see there we've got some great ebooks, 7 personal decision point ebooks. Which is
the 7 personal decision points you need to make in order to prepare for a nice retirement.
And transition into retirement. We also have the 9 Biggest Worries ebook that talks about the concerns that people have as they are saving and approach retirement. There's just great resources on the website, the Money Matters University. We've got some great education. Of course, you can get a podcast of this radio program. We've got newsletters that have, you can both video newsletters where we talk about market. What our views are on the markets for a particular period of time. We have other newsletters that talk about a variety of things. We just had a newsletter that talked about
passwords
and
A particle physicist guide to passwords. We have a particle physicist that works at Hanson McLean. He's pretty smart, and his
education in particle physics probably doesn't really add. It made him who he is today, but it's not something that's a requirement for
an IT guy or get a job at Hanson McLean.
That's right.
No, we only hire particle physicists.
Yeah. Excuse me. Do you have a? So anyway, we encourage you to go to hansonmclean.com and spend some time on the website. And we've also have a program on there where we filter out some of the financial news stories out there, and you can subscribe to our it's a personalized financial news feed. That you can get.
Not a blog, but a news feed.
Yeah. And you can read their articles that we've contributed to a variety of different things. And
let's just say
it's awesome.
You got to go to HansonMclean.com and pretty much ignore the family. Just say, hey, kids, wife, I'm focused on this right now. Because that'll go over.
I remember it's weekend. We're here every weekend, right? So I remember.
yeah, right. We are.
This is a long time ago, but I'm a fairly active guy. I love to ride my bike and run. I usually kind of think of, oh, here's what I'd love to do over the weekend. Then I think, oh, I try to have a wife. And so I think, how do I make
sure? How do you couch this?
How do I do what I want to do and still have a happy wife? And that's right. Anyway, so one weekend I thought, you know, I'm not going to have any plans at all for myself. I'm not going to bring up anything to my wife of what we want to do. I'm just going to focus on what my wife wants to do. So I tell her, hey, babe.
One weekend, and you told her this.
No, I didn't. I did not tell her that was my motive. Okay. It was kind of an experiment. And I said, honey, what would you like to do this week? And we did whatever she wanted to do. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, the whole thing. Sunday night, I remember thinking, whoa, this was kind of a little bit of a boring weekend. I literally remember thinking, this is kind of a boring weekend. And she says to me, I've had one of the best weekends I've had in a long time. And I remember thinking, well, but she was extremely happy.
We can't both be happy is what you were thinking.
I was happy. My wife was happy. I was pleased that my wife was happy. And I don't know why I'm bringing
so
this
the
up.
Point,
why am I bringing
what?
This? What is my point?
What do you think? I'm like your counselor?
It was good for one of us. No, okay. It's good for my wife.
For one of us.
It was good. My wife, happy wife, happy life.
Theoretical.
It seems right. I don't know what it's like in your family. Anyway.
All right, let's do.
We're way off. Let's go over some
email questions.
We do have some questions.
Let's start with subject, joint ownership.
Delivered.
So this is, I don't know, did they write this? Death doesn't bring out the worst in people. Joint ownership does.
What does that mean?
Who wrote that?
Death doesn't bring out the worst in people.
Oh.
Joint ownership does.
He wrote that.
All right, here's the thing. My wife's mother recently passed away and left a small beach cottage in her estate, which is divided into one-thirds among the 3 siblings. Sounds pretty nice. Beach cottage. One of my wife's brothers lives out of state and has opted out of the cottage ownership. This leaves my wife and her brother to co-own the house at 50% each. What advice can you give us to give us other than consulting a lawyer and establishing a joint tenants agreement? I know that this will not be easy, but at this point, we would both like to maintain ownership of this property. Thank you for your response. And you don't want joint ownerships with rights of survivorship on this.
That's correct.
Because if you have joint ownership, one of you dies, it's going to go to your sibling, not to your spouse or children. Unless that's what you want. If that's not what you want, I would not have it listed at joint ownership. Have it in tenants in common. You don't want to write a survivorship on this.
I would go to an attorney.
There's no question. But
that's what I would do. He said, other than go to an attorney and establishing a joint tenants agreement.
Before that, though, I would sit down and have a conversation of saying, how are we going to manage this? How are we going to manage the expenses? Roof needs to do.
Who gets to use it? How do we decide what weeks gets to use it? Can you, who gets, right? Can we rent it out? Can you rent your week out?
We're taking this question because this is the things you need to look at when you are having joint ownership or a joint business relationship even with a family member or someone close to you, because the family relationship sometimes can get in the way, and sometimes one's a little stronger and kind of pushes things the other the way they want. But here's why it's important to sit through all these things today and have a formal written agreement. It's not that, and written agreements, I believe they're important, not because you think the other person's going to take advantage of you, so you can just say, oh, here's the contract.
It's just to get the understanding out there.
And so it can memorialize what was agreed upon verbally. So that way, several years down the road, we can say, well, look, this is what we agreed upon. Maybe you'd forgot that.
Or do you want to change the agreement?
But I've been moving forward and with our agreement in mind, so.
Sorry.
You can hit the little side button and have it so it doesn't ding out loud.
I know, Scott. So for the people.
You've got an iPad and a phone. One of them
dinging. It was the iPad. I had the phone off. It was my wife. She's going to Costco. She wants to know what I want for dinner.
Would you
me.
Like the hot dog or the pizza?
Oh,
from Hot Dog.
I like the Morton steak.
Should I bring a little baggie and collect all the samples as we go through?
My beautiful wife just texted me. I'm on my way to Costco. What would you like for dinner?
That's very nice. So go ahead and take care of that, Pat.
On the middle of the show? So here's an important thing about this, Scott, about owning a property like this, right? And you might not think it's important, but how do you decide who gets what 1 week? What week? So I had
Fourth of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving.
So I had clients, and they owned a property in Tahoe with three other families. I said, how is that? They said, it's awesome. It's great. He said, every year, every couple of years, they take turns doing the books for the business or for the house. But they get together. He said, they got together every January and picked dates for the following year. And so Christmas, he said, every fourth year you knew you had it up there at Christmas. There was a week's, and the rest of it was more of a lottery type, or they would bid on.
Yeah.
But he said, and we each paid in $500 a month, and that was $2,000 a month all in. And for that, we replaced furniture. We kept the maintenance on.
Which is the second thing, Pat, is that if you own property with somebody, you do not want to wait until there's an expense to go to the other and say, let's come up with the cash.
You create a sinking fund.
You have a figure out some budget and have a monthly allotment that is paid into. And oftentimes when you see an inheritance, there usually you don't have two or three siblings that all are in the same financial situation.
Correct.
All right. So one might have plenty of cash, and kicking in $500 a month to maintain the beach cottage is no big deal. For someone else, it's next to impossible.
And different age kids. So are the teenage kids allowed to use it by themselves? Or the college age kids allowed to use the beach house by themselves? If they are, how many friends are they allowed to bring? This is the stuff that you worry about, right? It depends on where you're at in your life and where the co-owner is at their life. Because you're not talking about an investment. You're talking about something you consume.
Yeah, it's a vacation property. You consume it.
You consume it. So you're going to go
there.
The
beach cottage sounds nice.
We don't know. I mean, it could be like the beach cottage, you know, when John Candy stayed at.
What?
What's the name of that movie?
John Candy.
It's that movie. No, it slips my mind. Anyway.
John Candy.
Beach Vacation.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Never saw it.
Oh.
I was never a big fan of John Candy.
Loved the John Candy.
You did? Yeah. I felt bad that he died so young, but I was never a big fan of him.
So that's what you want to do. And unfortunately, you really do need to consult an attorney. So other than consulting a lawyer, what would you do? I would consult a lawyer and I'd sit down and I'd kind of hash this thing out before the problems came up.
And we see
a fair amount.
Oh, and it can get, look, it's almost, it's usually best when somebody passes away that their assets get sold and
the money split
and
up.
The heirs can reinvest it however they want. Most of the time, there's not any taxable event because there's a step up basis. So it's important that, most of the time you're better off selling the house, and there's a beach cottage, sounds great. There's one sibling already opted out for whatever reason. And then you need to look at it. Can you really afford, if this is your inheritance, is this how you want to spend your inheritance?
Is this the right thing to do?
For your family and what your needs are, that sort of thing. And for a mother, if you're a patriarch or a matriarch of a family, you've got this vacation property you'd like to have your kids have, do some other planning, have it set up in a different type of trust when you pass away with some funds there to maintain it. That way you can make sure that you've got the beach cottage.
If that's what you want.
If that's what you want, which may or may not be the case. Anyway, we are, clock says we are approaching a time limit. As you know, Hanson McLean is here every Saturday from 10 to 11. We rebroadcast from 2 to 3 on Sundays. But you can also get a podcast, HansonMcLean.com. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next week.